Good evening. Thank you so much for having me be a part of your congregation here this evening. I'm just trying to fix that so I don't hit it. Thank you so much for letting me be a part of you this evening. It's great to be back, and I hope that the things I say here is courage and edifying to you. And it seems like I've been gone forever. I know I haven't seen Larry for a while, and that's because when he's here, I'm not here, and when I'm not here, he's here. But it's great to see Larry tonight. It's good to see everyone here this evening. And I thank you so much, and I hope the things I say here will be encouraging and edifying to you. One thing I do want to say before I do get started here tonight, October 28th is when I'll be going to, I'm going to three different places down south. I'll be going to Asheville, North Carolina. I'll be going to Dansburg, I think that's how I pronounce it correctly, in Tennessee. And I'll be going to Cortez, Florida. And I'm trying to take supplies down primarily to all three of them. This is a little bit unique. I tell you, every time I go somewhere, there's something different every time, and this is no exception. And what I'm trying to take to Asheville and Dansburg in Tennessee specifically, I'm taking stuff where they can deal with winter. If you're wanting to know about supplies, the two things I would tell you first and foremost is those little propane heaters, or those little propane tanks I could put a propane heater on, and paper towels and boots and sleeping bags. And that's kind of some of the things that's been asked from those two little areas. Florida, we're helping a congregation down there that got flooded, and they didn't have any flood insurance. And I came to find out why, because it's about $6,000 a month for them to have flood insurance at their congregation, and it's because they're on the Gulf Coast. But we're going to go down there and help kind of clean up their building and replace the drywall down there. So I'm taking drywall materials down there specifically. But there's a variety of things that's been asked. It goes anywhere from chainsaws to generators to paper towels to propane. I can just go on and on with some of the things that's been asked for. And I kind of anticipated this just because this is kind of step two. Some of the necessities have been met, but there's other things that they have to deal with right now. So, one, remember us in your prayers as we travel. Two, if you're wanting to help, just talk to me after services or send me a message, and I'll be more than happy to talk to you about it and tell you what my game plan, my whole game plan is, if you will. But with that being said, this is why I did this lesson here today, is I went through some pictures of my first ever trip of doing something like this, and I went to Alabama. And Alabama, I think it was Hurricane Ivan. And when that got hit, I remember one picture I took in particular. It's not necessarily this one, but it should give you just an idea. I remember a tree being uprooted with the roots that were so big that they were about the size of me. And I remember looking through that picture and asking myself, how did a tree like this get uprooted like the way it did? Because if you look at trees like this, they have probably been around from anywhere from 100 to 200 years. And usually if they have went through things even more severe than Hurricane Ivan, why in the world all of a sudden now they decided to be uprooted? Is it the soil? Is it the constant beating that it gets from all the storms and all the winds? Is it the neighboring trees that it used to have and therefore it's no longer able to be as strong as it used to be? And usually when we come to find out, maybe it's just the tree itself. It seems like that's the last question we ask ourselves, is everything but the tree itself. And sometimes we do that with our faith. When we fail in our faith, when we come to struggle in our faith, we want to blame everything but ourselves. And that's what I want to talk about here tonight. How well is your roots buried when it comes to your faith? Are you able to deal with the soil that it's in? Are you able to be able to stand alone or stand along with others? Are you able to take the beating that comes from time after time again and able to withstand these things? And that's why I had Stephen read there in Colossians chapter 2, because here is a group of individuals that are not novice Christians. And they're asked to not only be established in these things, but be rooted in them and then walk in these things. It is taking the next level. It's taking another echelon when it comes to their faith. And this is a congregation tonight. As I look across the audience, we have been individuals that are not novice in the faith. We're not individuals that had just obeyed the gospel just a couple months ago. And that's the same way with the Church of Colossus. I found one funny meme on Instagram or TikTok where they show like a cartoon version of somebody opening the letter Colossus, and here comes a handout slapping them around. And that's sometimes what we need when it comes to our faith. We need to kind of be slapped around and realize that we need to wake up and ask ourselves, how well and how strong is our faith? And how well rooted are we when it comes to our faith? So if you follow along there, go to Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And one thing I want us to get out of this, it says, you received Christ, verse 6. And he says, rooted and built in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. The things I got highlighted shows us this is a past tense kind of mentality. It is not something that he is instructing novice Christians to do. They may need to hear those things, but this is not an audience that's novice by any means. And they're telling them that you need to walk in him and have these roots firm. When I looked at this sermon, a friend of mine did this sermon, and I thought it was good to repeat it to others. He talked about there was two lights in a harbor. And when he looked at these lights, and one light notices this other light, and he needs him to move in order for him to get through. And he calls out to this light that he is reaching out to through radio, and he says, hey, you need to move. I am a very big ship, and you need to move. And he responds back. He goes, no, you need to move. And he calls back again. He goes, no, you don't understand. We are a part of the military here. You need to move. The guy responds back once again. He goes, no, you need to move. He calls third time, and he goes to him. He says, we are a USS battleship. You need to move. He says, we are a lighthouse. We're not moving. And we need to be the lighthouse. And we need to have our light shine. And we need to be the individual that says, I don't need to move. You need to move. We sing the song, I shall not be moved. Why are we not individuals that take that proclamation to heart and say, when it comes to the challenges of our culture, when it comes to the ever-changing society, when it comes to the people kind of beating us down, we don't say we will not be moved. We come to compromise. We come to say, well, maybe we come to doubt. So think about how there is going to be those people that want to pull up our roots. Once again, go to Colossians chapter 2. In verse 4, it says, I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. And sometimes when the changing spirit of our culture comes, it confuses us, and sometimes it will lead us to compromise. He continues on a couple verses down. He tells us there, he goes, see it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. He is encouraging. He goes, everything looks really neat and shiny today, but is it something that we are supposed to follow, or is it something that could be deceiving us? He goes on a couple more verses. He says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you with questions of food or drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. You know, this weekend, on Friday, I reffed a football game in New Martinsville. And I remember the coach constantly coming to me on the sideline and says, hey, that guy can't do this. That guy can't do that. Why is that guy allowed to do this? Or why is that guy allowed to do that? And what I came to find out is this individual that's asking all these questions, he has taken college and pro football rules, and he wants to establish them in a high school game. And I told him, I said, this is a high school game with high school rules, and we don't play by the college or by the pro rules. It's a guy that will probably watch football all day Saturday. He'll watch all the college games he wants on Saturday. He'll watch all the pro football games on Sunday. He'll watch it on Monday night and Thursday night and any other night that they probably have it available. And he looks at these things and thinks that that's applicable to us. And that's how we do sometimes of our faith. We don't take the opportunity to make a diligent study on it. No, we watch something on TV and we cling on to those facts. A couple years back, I did a study on evolution. And maybe some of us is about around my age. There was a documentary put out there called, I think it was Dorothy. I can't remember. Or no, Lucy. Lucy. It was about the individual that was the first to walk. And it was supposed to be the first link to apes and humans. And it's funny how far they went away from that now. But in order for that to be put on TV, it was not some fly-by-night documentary. It took years. It took a lot of years. Through all their studies and all the investigation and all the research, and they put all this stuff together. And then after, I think it was like 5 years, they finally put this documentary out. And it came with criticism, of course. But if you look at a lot of documentaries today, it's not 5 years anymore. It's not even 2 years. Sometimes it's just a matter of months, but they have something and they want to put it out there. And most of the time when they put out these biopics and documentaries, they don't come nowhere near the truth. But we look at it as truth because we saw it with our very own eyes on TV. Be individuals when we come to look at things, when it comes to our faith, be individuals that study the matter out. Be individuals that will research these things instead of relying on somebody else to tell you something. You think about how, when it comes to our faith, if our faith is based on our feelings, they will succeed because the fads of excitement is what's different. Look, if you will, there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. There's a reason why he tells us to put on the whole armor of God. It says that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Do you real? I don't know about you. I don't know. I know Nathan gets on social media and some of you other guys do, but you know how many times I get someone to ask me about something they've seen on TikTok? Or somebody asks me about something they've seen on Instagram? Or something they've seen on social media that is a religious situation or a religious thought or a religious question? And they ask me, because what do you think on this? And the thing that bothers me more than anything is not the question within itself. It's the lazy approach about the question. They didn't take the opportunity, because when it comes to my faith, I search the matter out. That's where God tells us that we should search these matters out. That's what a wise individual that will do, is search the matter out in the book of Proverbs. But the thing is that there's no opportunity to go search the matter out. They want to ask somebody what they think and base their thoughts and base their theories on what someone said. Keep in mind, if somebody comes to you and says something like, you know, there's something new I found in Scripture, please take that with caution. Because even the Ecclesiastes writer tells us in verse 9 of the very first chapter, there's nothing new under the sun. The variables may change, the situation may be a little bit different, but the problems have always been there. And addresses these same things. And the sad thing is, sometimes we come across these situations, we like to argue it's something new and it really isn't. Sometimes when it comes to our faith, if we base our faith on others, they will succeed because they'll go with the crowd. Look there in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Peter gives us this warning, because you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. I have no doubt in my mind, there's some brethren I look across this room, and I don't think they would ever try purposely to steer me wrong. And I don't think Tracy would ever try purposely to put me in harm's way. Well, maybe. But here's the thing. Tracy or anybody here should take a very humble approach to be mindful that they could be wrong. Brethren, I could be wrong here tonight. How many times have you ever heard a preacher stand up here? It wouldn't shock me one bit Albert Dixon did last week, and it wouldn't shock me anybody else that stand in this pulpit said the exact same thing. If I say something contrary to the Word of God, please, let's talk about this. How many times have you saw anybody outside the church start with that kind of a statement? Because everybody thinks they're right. You know, I get paid big bucks to do this, or I've been doing this for a long time. I can't be wrong. No, we can be wrong. And if we want to take a humble approach when it comes to our faith, we will search the matter out. If there's one thing I want you to get out of this tonight, is we're willing to search the matter out and take the humble approach that we could be wrong, but we are going to strive to be right. Also, if your faith is based on happiness, then they will succeed because anything difficult will cause us to give up and quit. Look, if you will, in Mark chapter 10, verse 22. This is about the rich young ruler, and he is told about the one thing he needs to do. And he is told about this one thing, and you know that when you look at that one thing that Jesus tells him to do, it's not one thing, it's a lot of things that he needs to do. I like the translation when it says, disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. When I started doing this little study here, I found something very encouraging and edifying on a note concerning Mark chapter 10, verse 22. And I'd like to repeat it to you if I can. And if it says here, he goes, in our struggle to protect the glorious truth that man is saved by grace and grace alone, we ought to forget and neglect another great truth. To follow Christ is to serve and minister to our neighbor. If we base it on grace and grace alone, it goes to happiness. And the reason being is because there's nothing required of us to do anything. Jesus did it all, and therefore, if he did it all, then I have to do nothing. And that is not what Christ is telling this individual who wants to obtain eternal life. If you want to know the way up, it's in service. If you want to know the way to heaven, it's on our knees in humility. And it is not only trying to make ourselves unspotted, but it's also helping them in their time of affliction. That is pure and undefiled religion, James tells us. Go back to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. One of the things I want us to look at here is what the focus on is when it comes to what we need to be in him. Not the things of the world, not the things of the earth. Do not set your treasures on the earth, but set your treasures that is in heaven. Seek those things that are in heaven. And you see often, as I highlight here, how often that we should be doing these things in him. And in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, it tells us, he goes, you need to walk in him. Not like your peers, not like somebody you saw on TV. I can remember as a kid, we would watch certain movies and we wanted to be like certain individuals. Me, I wanted to be like Han Solo. I thought he was the coolest guy around. But see, we do these things where we look at individuals and we want to emulate them, but be the individual that is like the Apostle Paul and tells us to be imitated like Christ. Walk in him, and then it tells us to be rooted in him. Not by traditions, but be rooted in Christ and be built in him. Not the patterns that you see of the world, but the patterns you see in Christ. And you see there in verse 8, to do the things according to Christ. He tells you all kinds of things that you should not be doing, but he tells you you should be doing the things according to Christ. And he also continues to tell me, because you have been filled in him. not by the indecency of our culture, but be filled in him by Christ. He goes on to verse 11 through verse 13. He tells us, he goes, in him you were circumcised. In him. And it's no longer the tradition of showing that we are apart from this world and we are individuals that are God's chosen people. But no, we are circumcised by another way. And it's the circumcision of the sins of this world to separate us from the things of this world. There's the circumcision that he tells us about without hands. And those are the things that we should do in Christ. We also see to be buried in him. Verse 12, and we understand it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but it's a good conscience towards God. And then he tells us to be alive together in him. It's not this one-way street of what God will do for me. It's the two-way street of saying, what does my Lord want me to do for him? Our roots cannot come from shallow ground. If you look there in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it tells us, he goes, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, and seated at the right hand of God. And one of the things we discussed this morning in our Bible study was in Matthew chapter 6. And it tells us about seeking these things. And talking about how the eye should show the body the light or the darkness. And one person brought up and says, well, what if somebody's blind? Well, think about what we should be individuals that we should be looking for. Not necessarily by a physical eye, but the things that our heart desires to go after. And this is the encouragement that Paul is telling him. He goes, you look for the things that are above. What is heaven's community like? I think about who is the individuals that are in heaven. And I think if those individuals are in heaven, those are the individuals that did things according to his will. The ones that acknowledge that he is God, the ones that acknowledge that he is Christ, the one that is willing to do his will, and those have been given their reward. And you see that there is individuals in the Old Testament that did the right thing and did the wrong thing. But because they seek the things that are above, those are the things that they desire to do. And those are the things that we should desire to do. We should make a choice of what we want to find. And Jesus tells us very plainly in chapter 6 that you are either going to look for light or you're going to look for darkness. And there's not going to be some gray in between. There's not going to be some maybe here. There's not going to be some third road to go on. Look how we see there with Elijah when he tells him, he goes, after all these things are done between me and the prophets of Baal, you're not going to have two opinions. Joshua will tell us in the last chapter of his book, and we see when it comes to taking on the challenges, that we're going to make a choice today. Too many times we say to ourselves, there's a yes, there's a no, there's a maybe. There's no maybe when it comes to God. And you go on to verse 2, and it tells us to set our minds on him. You know what you need to do. Now set your mind on those things that you need to do. Carry it with some determination because you have been called to Christ. And if we are supposed to be Christ-like, it's not like he hid these things from us. Sit there within yourselves. You think about some of the things Christ did here while he was on earth. And you knew that these things that Christ did was for the purpose of his Father. And we are encouraged from these things that has been revealed to us, to imitate him. There are things that we should be doing when it comes to those things that we set on our mind. They're not hidden from us either. There's not going to be some time when we go to heaven and we say, well, you should have done this. Oh, man, I didn't know that was there. No, it's not something that has been hidden from you and I. Look, if you will, in verse 5, you know, chapter 3 is trying to remind us about a baptism. And how, like Christ, he was buried, he was put to death, he was buried, and he was resurrected. And Christ is a different individual before he was put in the grave. I don't shy away from that. He may not be man, he may not be God, but he is something different. And what I mean by that, he's not like there yet. He's not in the heaven. But he's on his way. And he tells us through those scriptures in Acts chapter 1, we will go the same way. But for us to be this individual that is going to go like Christ, it tells us here that we must put to death the things that is earthly. When you have been buried in baptism and you rise out of the water, you are a different individual. And you're nothing like here on earth, and you're not there yet in heaven, but you have been changed. And you should be putting away these things that is earthly in us. And Paul does not shy away to tell us that sexual immorality and impurity and passion and evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry, those are the things that we should not have. And if we're able to avoid these things, to put these things to death, I think in King James it tells us to mortify them, to put to death these things. It should not shock us when we put these things to death that we do have our roots buried deep. If you look there in chapter 6, it tells us we will not serve two masters. It says it will love one and despise the other, or we will hate one and love the other. And that should remind us that we are either going to love the darkness or we're going to hate it. Or we're going to love the light or we're going to hate it. Once again, it's about a choice. Look on there, if you will, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. And you see that we are supposed to put these things on. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, it's forgiven each other. As God has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. It says, put on love, verse 14. 15 tells us, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I forgot to put 16 up here because it also tells us to let the word of God dwell richly in us. I've been pretty good about trying to get myself ready in the mornings in the shortest time possible. What I mean by is this. I got it now to where I could wash my hair, shave, and shower all at the same time. I never tried brushing my teeth yet, so I think that's going to be challenging. But I do this in this kind of time so I can be ready and I can look presentable. Believe it or not, appearance is everything. Whether you think it's unfair or not, appearance is everything. It's like that in our society. It's like that in our congregations. Whether you think it's fair or not, this is the way things go sometimes. The reason why I tell us about this is when you think about getting ready in the morning, I think I take about 20 minutes tops, maybe 30. And I know, I said the same thing to people this morning at church, and I saw people going, they take longer. Maybe they take an hour. I'm not going to press my luck and say two. But we do take this initiative to be presentable before people. Now, if you think about the initiative that you take to put on beautiful clothes, have a beautiful presentation, then you understand the beauty when it comes to putting on these things as being the chosen ones of God. I told you the story about one time I was driving late at night for Auto Plus, and I had this guy come out of nowhere, and it was during the heat of the summer, and he said, I'm just trying to get water. He says, can I get some water? And he wanted to go to the spigot in front of the store. And I said, yeah, you could do that. I said, I'll even do you one better. And I gave him all the water that I have in my little cooler that I take with me, and I gave him some money. And he says, oh, there must be angels here tonight. And I said, no. But the reason why I'm bringing that up is not to put myself on a pedestal, but think about how when we hear that word, why is it? It's because we did something that God wanted us to do. I know I'm not the only one that has been told about, oh, you must be an angel, or you must be with God because of the things that you're doing. It's because you put on these things because you are God's chosen people. How many times have we heard people be called out for the hypocrisy? And the reason being is not because they're sharing the light, it's because they're promoting darkness. They're being called out on because they are not putting on the things of God's chosen people. They're not putting on the love. They're not putting on the humility. They're not putting on the kindness. They're not putting on the love for one another. They're not putting on the forgiveness of one another. They are not putting these things on. And how can we say that we are these individuals if we're not taking the right choices as God's chosen people to do the things that is required of you and I to do? And sometimes the way we excuse ourselves is from one just simple thing. He says, we say to ourselves, time's changing. And therefore, we must take some different application with it. I went to my high school reunion last night. And I told a story to them about how I went to a gospel meeting over in Middleburn. It was Garwell's Run. It's a small little congregation. I don't even know if it's even open now. And one of the ladies that was at that congregation used to be my neighbor when I was a little kid. And she would not stop talking about all the stuff I did when I was a kid. And I said, Janie, you gotta stop. I'm different now. I'm not the kid hanging out the window of their apartment. But we think because we have come from some different background, we come from some different way, or because of the changing culture, we got to compromise things. And it made me think about some of the things I see out here in this world now. I put this up here because everybody thinks that the Nike Air Jordan is something new. It's not. It came out in 1985. Jordan wore it for the first time in 1984. That's been around for a long time, folks. And I saw today where an individual had one of the first pair of Air Jordans, and he bought it at Foot Locker for $37. I wish I could buy a pair of shoes for $37. It doesn't even have to be Air Jordans. But here's the thing. I see a lot of kids now, they have holes in their jeans. I hate to tell you this, I had holes in my jeans too. There's a lot of clothes I see now. I even ask kids sometimes. I saw one kid come with a Kiss t-shirt. I said, do you listen to that band? He's like, no, I just like the shirt. I was like, well, take that shirt off. But the funny thing is, you see how cyclical sometimes when it comes to fashion. And I'm going to beg you kids one favor. Do not buy genie pants. If the genie pants ever come back in the style, do not buy genie pants. We were stupid, okay? Don't buy them. That's something that should never come back in style. Zubaz, too. Don't get those either. Then, like GPS. How crazy is it? I think it was like probably about 25 years ago. I went to go see my sisters over in Massillon, Ohio. And I used the map. Do you know how long it took me to get there from where I was at? 5 hours. Do you know how long it took me to get there with GPS? More than half that, or less than half of that. And some people will probably say, well, GPS still is horrible. And you might be right. But for me, I can even pinpoint what time I'll be there now. Or I told this story this morning about how on Friday nights, I think it was 9 o'clock, when I was a kid, the only thing that was allowed on TV at that time was Dallas. We didn't watch anything else. And I don't miss Dallas at all. But Friday nights, that's what we watched. Even the reruns, we watched Dallas. Funny thing now is, and Tracy, Paul, I apologize, but you said there's nothing to watch on TV now. There's all kinds of stuff to watch on TV. It's just, all of it's great. Or, and I'll probably get in trouble for this, is the gender parties. Sorry, Nathan and Shannon. But there was a time that when you found out that gender was when the baby came out. Now, you can go 10 weeks into a pregnancy and find out what the gender is. Which, I can see it's kind of a good thing, because there was a time I bought a football uniform for a girl, and I had time to return it and get something that was girlish, so, before she came out. So, that was good. Or Febreze. The reason why I put Febreze up here is the worst place to be in Tyler County in August was around the locker room of the football team, because it was nasty. And you could smell that stuff a mile away. And it's lucky we didn't get some kind of crazy disease because how bad it smelled. But now, with technology like this, I have a pair of umpire pads and shin guards that I've had for over 10 years now. And usually with stink like that, you throw them away. But because of Febreze, I was able to still keep them now. My point is this. You know, we look at some things that was kind of good, but there's also a lot of things out there that's changed in time that's really bad. And sometimes when those bad things come along, we say to ourselves, I don't know if I could deal with this. But one point I want to bring before our service ends here, the message is over, is Epaphras. And Epaphras was struggling too. And he was dealing with changes that we're not familiar with. But Paul does point him out in both verses here that he has been doing some difficult things. He says there in verse 12, he goes, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers. And he says, I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you, for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. And the reason why is so that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Brethren, I have not been told once throughout Scripture that our faith is easy. I have not been told once in Scripture that it's going to be like frolicking through the tulips. But I do find in constant times over and over again throughout the Gospels and throughout the letters and throughout the book of Revelation that these things are also rewarding. The question we have to ask ourselves is a question I asked halfway through our sermon. Are you willing to seek the light, or are you willing to seek the darkness? Are you willing to not only put your roots in, but bury them deep to when any kind of trouble comes along, you're willing to stand strong? When any time of difficulty will come along, it's not that bad because you have your roots deep. And you're not going to have to worry about the changing culture because you have your roots deep. And you know that the problems that you deal with now, they're going to go away. I don't know about you, but 5 years ago, I don't remember a lot of the problems I had 5 years ago. And the reason being is because those problems went away. Now, there's problems I have today, but it's going to be like those problems 5 years ago. Sooner or later, they're going to go away. As long as I keep my roots deep in God. And the only time we should recognize failure is when we're not trying to be pleasing before God. May I encourage you here tonight, for those who are struggling with their faith, what can we do to help you out here tonight be stronger in your faith? We take opportunities like today, and we ask for an open invitation for those who want to be baptized into Christ to start a point in their faith that they continue to grow stronger and stronger. A point in repentance that we know that we need to make changes, and therefore we make those changes to be more and more pleasing unto God. Maybe we need to pray about something. And the opportunity for us to pray is so wonderful, because everybody here is really trying to look out for one another. And if we are really looking out for one another, how simple is it to just pray a prayer with someone? This is available tonight. And if you need to respond, let's do something about it here right now. Won't you come while we stand, while we sing?